Mini episode 1861 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Chris Galloway, your FDH Lounge original dignitaries, bringing to you today our early playoff preview for the NFL for the 2025-2026 season. This is part nine, the culminating part of our season preview. Thus far, we have gone through all of the divisions, division by division, in the NFL. And again, if you're looking for any kind of macro level notes for the season, I mean, obviously you're going to get them here in this segment. But beyond that, we did them in the first part of the series, the NFC East preview. That was the first one that we did. And so everything that we said, division by division, sets up for what we're going to do here. That is going to be giving you our previews for the playoffs, how we see them playing out. And specifically, as we've done in years past, I'm going to go super granular on this. I'm going to go round by round. Chris is going to give you the Championship Sunday picks from his perspective. We'll both give you the Super Bowl picks. Going to lead this off with the NFC, because this year we shook it up a little bit and we started with the NFC as opposed to the AFC with the divisions. Went against our entire history in doing so. So let's lead it off with the NFC. This is how I see it going. So in round one, this is going to be, and I'll give you the seeds for all of the teams involved. I've got number two, Green Bay, over number seven, Chicago. I think the Bears are going to make the playoffs this year. I think it's going to be that classic rivalry playing its way out at Lambeau. I see it going Green Bay's way. Number three, L.A. Rams over number six, Washington. I see that going a different way than last year's playoff matchup that they had. And number five, Detroit over number four, Atlanta. Number five, Detroit, you might say. Well, so you don't have them winning the division here. No, I do not, because this sets up for I already said that Green Bay was the number two seed. Green Bay in the second round, I have beating the L.A. Rams. Number two, Green Bay over number three, L.A. Rams. Number one, Philadelphia over number five, Detroit. This sets up a Championship Sunday matchup of number one, Philadelphia, hosting number two, Green Bay. And in many such instances, you look at this and it ends up being between two teams that are relatively evenly matched. And again, Philadelphia, I believe, hosted Green Bay in the playoffs a year ago, if I'm remembering this correctly. A lot of times it will come down to home field, but not here. Sorry, Joe Stazek. Sorry, Eagles fans. Number two, Green Bay over number one, Philadelphia. The Packers, Chris Galloway, I believe, are going to the Super Bowl.
It's wild. My NFC championship game prediction is, and when I started to look at this, I really, really wanted to have the Rams at the Packers. And I ultimately went against that because my concerns, what's come out since we taped our previous segment on the NFC West, about that have really been elevated about Matt Stafford's back and the mm-hmm. fact that he is getting shots now in the mm-hmm. summer. I can't go back and change, you know, any predictions on that front. But I think by the time we get around to January, late January, I've got concerns about Matt's back as it relates to, you know, that sort of, you know, second round of playoffs. So because I wanted to go Rams at Packers, but because of his back, I changed that this afternoon in my analysis to Eagles at Packers.
Eagles at Packers. Okay. All right. Eagles
at Packers.
Okay.
Packers win and go to the Super Bowl. So, despite all the changes and difference of opinion that you and I had in all the divisions, we end up with the same two teams in the championship game in our predictions and the same team going to the Super Bowl. And I want people at home to understand this. Rick and I don't compare notes and talk about this before. We don't.
No.
So it is interesting to me that ultimately we end up with the same two teams in the, although opposite of who's hosting. But we have the same team moving forward into the Super Bowl.
And that's where, again, my picks being in Fantasy Football Draftology 2025, I mean, I don't get the sense that you're necessarily going in there and looking at those. I think you like to be surprised.
I can tell you right now, I intentionally do not.
Okay, you avoid that.
It does not ruin these segments.
Okay.
So I have not been to the website to look at what you have put out there.
Okay.
Because I don't want that to influence me, nor do I also like the surprise.
Well, I'm sure you're getting your fantasy football wisdom from the guide, but you're not reading that part of it. So, okay.
We're talking about the non-fantasy predictions. Yeah, I'm not going in there.
Yes. Okay.
And before we do these segments to look at you to see what you say,
okay.
Because I genuinely like to be sort of surprised in the same way that, you know, it's more fun for you that you didn't know that I was going to say Giants win the NFC East, right? Like that the look on your face was priceless and worth it to me.
Chris, one of the great things, and I was talking to a good friend, fellow FDH Lounge dignitary John Adams tonight, is I think I was referencing when you made that Giants pick. And one of the great things in 2025 about our return to video, just like we had in the old Sports Talk Network days, is I love to be able to sell for people in moments like that. Like, you will see me get bug-eyed when somebody says something that makes me get bug-eyed. It definitely adds to the show. And we've been able to do that to each other a few times. We've been able to give each other some reactions on things. You pick the Giants to win the NFC East. You pick the Bengals to finish last in the NFC North. I know I got a shocking reaction out of you with the Las Vegas Raiders making the playoffs in the AFC. Tell you this, I can promise you this, folks, as we pivot to the AFC here. Chris and I, what we're agreeing on is going to fade to the margins here as we get to the AFC. I can almost assure that one here. But here's how I have it going at the granular level in the playoffs for the AFC. In the wild card round, number 2, Baltimore over number 7, Las Vegas. Nice while it lasted for the Raiders. Number 3, Kansas City over number 6, New England. Number 5, LA Chargers over number 4, Buffalo. Now, granted, that was one where, and actually, you know what? I'm going to change this in real time because, again, that was before the Slater injury. I think the Chargers are going to make the playoffs. I'm going to flip-flop on this one in real time. I'm going to say number 4, Buffalo over number 5, LA Chargers. It doesn't affect the trajectory of where I'm going in the AFC. You might notice the one divisional winner I didn't mention yet, that's the number 1 seed by process of elimination, that would be the Houston Texans. So I'm going to say number 1 Houston over, not as I had it in the guide here, the number 5 LA Chargers, but number 1 Houston over the number 4 Buffalo Bills and number 3 Kansas City over number 2 Baltimore because, hey, it's January and that's what happens when these teams play in January. Again, home field, as I said, for the NFC. Sometimes it's destiny, sometimes it's not destiny. I'm picking the road team in the NFC, so how could I possibly do the same in the AFC? I mean, that never happens. I don't think you ever get the lower seed winning both times here. Call it the law of averages, if nothing else. But this will shock the world. Number 1 Houston over number 3 Kansas City. The Houston Texans are Super Bowl bound, in my estimation, Chris Galloway.
I think this is, you are right that one, I'm wondering what you've been smoking tonight. And two, this is where, as harmonious as we were in the NFC, we parting is such sweet sorrow. I have the Bills as the number 1 seed and making everybody go to Buffalo if they want to go to the Super Bowl. Where is the Super Bowl this year? Do you know? I didn't even bother to look it up.
The Super Bowl,
I believe, is in Arizona again or something.
It's in Santa Clara, I believe.
Let me double check. No, I think you're right. I think I did read that a few months back. That sounds right. So not exactly a tropical location in
Santa Clara. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably going to be one of those 40s, 50s type of games.
Yep.
All right. So I have the Bills. I have the Bills as the one seed. I have them hosting the AFC Championship game against the Baltimore Ravens and defeating the Baltimore Ravens to go to the Super Bowl so that you will have a Bills Packers Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this, and not to get unfair with you, because I know you just like to distill it to the AFC Championship game, but I don't get into all the seeding like you do.
Who's playing Kansas City?
You have to answer this, though. Who do you have beating Kansas City? Which of these two teams, or is it somebody else per chance?
I have Baltimore. In my mind, it's going to be Baltimore.
So they're going to beat Kansas City but still lose to Buffalo. Okay. All right. It's the futility
going to
bowl.
Going to Buffalo at the end of January is a lot harder than you think it is.
I mean, so Buffalo makes it to the Super Bowl without having to beat Kansas City. I mean, this is shades of Pittsburgh, the way that they would pay off somebody. Every time they went to the Super Bowl, they would, like, pay off the Jets to take out the Patriots on a fluke.
For Bills fans, it's sweet because they finally get back, but they don't get to get there by taking out Mahomes.
This is going to feel very, very similar to football fans in Columbus, the way that national championship was won last year. Kind of the same thing as losing to Michigan again, but winning the national championship.
I mean, it's going to feel that way to Bills fans. They're going to be a little bitter about it. But yeah, they'll still be in the Super Bowl, and that's the part they're going to care about.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, all right. So they make it to the Super Bowl. The question is whether they get over the hump in the Super Bowl. I've got it being Green Bay versus Houston. And again, for anybody that thinks I'm taking shrooms, it was enough of a microdose that I don't have Houston winning the Super Bowl. I have the Green Bay Packers standing astride the NFL at the end of the Super Bowl in Santa Clara. Do you agree with me, Chris, or do you see it going the Bills' way?
Green Bay Packers in a nip and tuck battle continue the Buffalo Lake Erie agony. 0-5, Buffalo fans. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Because I'll be pulling for you and rooting for you like crazy. But I've got the Packers winning that game 33-28.
Well, as a spiteful Miami Dolphins fan, that would actually make me happy to see Buffalo slip on another banana peel here. So that is all right. So you're picking a score here. Okay, I can do no less if you're going
to
do that.
And again, unlike what happened to those old Jim Kelly Bills teams, these aren't the blowouts to the Redskins and the Cowboys. Mm. It's going to be down in late in the fourth quarter.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say Green Bay ends up beating Houston. I'm going to say 30-17. So it will be, I think, a solid win for the Packers in the Super Bowl. Interesting that both of us end up going that way for the Packers. And again, you and I have to varying degrees gone out on big limbs here. I mentioned some of the ones with you. For me, some of the other ones, I'm picking Tennessee for second place in the AFC South at 7-10. I think a lot of people probably don't see that coming. Again, for me, New England and Las Vegas making the playoffs. But again, let's not understate here. I mean, you and I aren't going out on the world's biggest limb and picking Green Bay, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of that this year. If ever there was a team that looked like they were ready to go back-to-back, I would argue that it could be Philadelphia. So we're not going with them. We're not going with Detroit, although I think a lot of people are kind of quietly showing some of the same concerns that you and I are about the state of the 2025 Lions. There are some people that have been going for the Rams, I think, maybe until recently with what you've said about Stafford. So interesting here. We're going out on at least a moderate limb picking Green Bay if you look at the other punditry out there.
said, I wanted to put the Rams in the NFC Championship game in being hosted by Green Bay, but such concerns over Stafford's back. So many concerns that he doesn't hold up this year. Not enough that I'm going to pull back on them winning the division. Obviously, he goes down early in the season. It's all bets are off, right? They could end up with a terrible record.
Yeah.
If he can't stay healthy because of that. But that's why ultimately I decided that it's I'm going to pencil the Eagles back into that championship game because of the back situation with Stafford. I thought last year the Rams on the road really had a really good chance of winning that game, and they just kind of let it slip away when I thought they might get it done. I think people forget how close that game really was.
Yeah.
But like you, I've got the Patriots, sneaking into the playoffs. I've got, I don't have the Raiders sneaking in, but I have the Giants sneaking in and Eagles right on their heels with the wild card out of that division.
Yeah.
I ultimately, you and I, the journey may be wildly different, but I don't think that it's any big surprise. Picking the Packers certainly is not, it may not be chalk, but it's not exactly upset city.
Right.
You're giving the Texans a lot more credit in that because of that division. I'm saying that division ultimately ends up being a reason why they're not that great. Even though they win the division, and I think Baltimore gets a little bit closer, but this is the Bills' year to get it done. Unfortunately, they don't get to take out the Chiefs. The Chiefs will take themselves out against Baltimore.
Yeah, and part of it is, and this is a name I haven't even really mentioned.
Again, I've got the Bills hosting. They're gonna host the Texans, right? The mm-hmm. Texans got to go to Buffalo, and yeah. That's where.
And honestly, I'll be honest with you. When I'm looking at this, I do sort of reverse engineer a little bit, because if I believe that it's Houston's year, then I have to believe that they're the number one seed, because I don't see them going to Buffalo or Baltimore and getting it done. I don't see them in the cold weather getting it done. And a name that I haven't mentioned until now that I can't believe that I haven't, but a lot of it is the same way that you've been a Dan Campbell guy the last couple of years. That's how I look at D'Amico Ryans. I really think that he is one of the brightest coaches.
I've been a Dan Campbell guy for like 10 years, and Rick Nielsen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when he was out there without a job, I was saying, hey, yeah. Remember when he was the Dolphins coach for half a season?
Sure.
How come no one's given him a chance?
Sure. Bigger limb than I was out on with D'Amico Ryans. And me being on him was more recent. But when he was on the list of, aspiring head coaches, that's where I was already looking at him. Like, that guy is going to be a tremendous leader for a franchise. Like, I've had that guy earmarked before he had the job, not as far back as you went with Campbell, but a lot of this is because I believe that Ryans is going to be able to, in the old kind of mantra of Paul Heyman with ECW in Philadelphia, of, maximizing the strengths and minimizing the weaknesses. And I think that is hiding the weaknesses. I think that is something that Ryans is going to be able to get done here. One of the things that I have to ask you with what you're saying about the NFC here is, had it been Packers-Rams in the championship game, would you have still seen the Packers coming out? Did you end up having to change your conference pick, or is it the same pick regardless?
No, just going Packers regardless.
Okay.
I was going to give the advantage to playing in the cold in Green Bay over that Rams team coming up from LA.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, and if I remember correctly, I think they had a matchup a couple of years ago. That was the year that Tampa Bay went to the Super Bowl, when it ended up being the Battle of the Bays, I think, in the NFC Championship game. Cause I think the Packers had taken out the Rams then. So yeah, having to go up there, it can be a difficult thing. It was funny the one time a couple of years ago when San Francisco went in there, and I think they beat Green Bay, and I'm pretty sure they did. And it's a thing, it was like The funny thing was, like, San Francisco, with them being like a physical run oriented team, and it was like San Francisco looks more like the cold weather team than Green Bay does. You know,
that's exactly what happened that year.
Yeah,
they looked like the team that was absolutely comfortable, and the Packers were the finesse team.
Yes,
that seemed like they were absolutely struggling. And so you're absolutely right. The more physical, the more physical team. And again, I think that's why those that are picking the Eagles, right? So an Eagles Packers championship game.
Yeah.
There's not as much of an advantage for the Packers over the Eagles in Green Bay because Philly's a cold town in the winter. And Philly's a physical run the football team. So I think Green Bay is going to be tested in that game.
They're going to be, but then, you know, Barkley, and this makes me a little bit of a hypocrite because of how high up I have Barkley on my fantasy draft rankings. And believe me, if I'm picking in the top five and he's still there, he's not going to get past me. But mileage has to be a concern off of last year. So even if I'm right and I think he's going to have a stellar regular season, the grind of the playoffs, you add an extra couple games on top of that against superior defenses. And what's Barkley going to look like towards the end? Because probably it's going to be a lot of wear and tear on him this year if he holds up through the whole year, which has been a concern with him in the past. That is funny about San Francisco and Green Bay, because I'm not sure you and I ever even discussed that off air, but we both noticed the same thing. And it was like the team that stylistically seemed more cold weather won that game. Normally for Green Bay, and I think they've reverted now to where they'll have the advantage against the warm weather team in that situation. That was just the way it was, a product of the time and the place when San Fran, that particular team, was a lot more suited to the circumstances than they were.
I think it is fair to question whether or not the Eagles are more suited in that environment than the Packers.
Yeah.
The way their offense works, there may be some truth to that. I'll still play the odds of who's at home in the, you know, in the championship game, and what's that weather like, and those fans. You know, I'll stick with the Packers again. I think Packers Bills is going to be that's a great classic Super Bowl matchup, right? I mean,
yeah,
old teams, the Bills trying to break through with Josh Allen, the Packers are back with Jordan Love. I mean, what a great narrative.
Yeah, versus if I'm right and it's Green Bay, Houston, I think that Goodell is going to be making a panicked phone call to Adam Silver, like, how did you handle it when you found out it was going to be Oklahoma City and Indiana? I don't think Goodell would be as happy with my combination in the Super Bowls.
Well, he does get the third largest media market in Houston, right? So he does get that. Green Bay, of course, being the smallest in the world. But Green Bay may be a tiny market, but the NFL, as we have discussed, is bulletproof. And Green Bay truly is a national team.
National team, yes.
Because of their history. So the media market size doesn't really matter when it comes to the Packers.
Could there be anything more? Yeah, I mean, that is so weird. Like, Houston, you're right, third largest media market in the country, but they don't exactly spill any beer at the VFW halls in any areas outside of Houston versus Green Bay. There's coast-to-coast people that are invested in them.
Texans fans all around the country. I mean, that is not a thing.
No.
You know, the way there are Browns backers bars in, you know, 49 countries or something, that doesn't exist with the Texans.
No, it doesn't. And largely because, you know, it's not a matter of Houston expatriates. It's a matter of people move to the Sun Belt, not away from the Sun Belt. People are moving from places like Cleveland to Houston. It doesn't go the other way around. So you don't have the dispersal of fans all over the place the way you did with the Browns because of everybody moving off the North Coast. But this is like,
if you are proven right and it's the Texans in the Super Bowl, I'm going to go out and buy some Oilers gear just to jinx them.
I wouldn't really have a dog in that fight if it went that way in that one. But I will say this.
Come on, man. Listen, to me, that's an easy one. I think the McNairs are trash, and I'm not going to do anything to support them.
Well, you know, just because they fleeced that hillbilly Jimmy Haslam, it's not necessarily a reason to hate
them. I'm not saying Jimmy's okay. I'm just saying I despise that ownership group down there. So
yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, again, yeah, they've done a lot of trash things. Point well taken. I will just say too, the whole thing about market
I maintain to this day.
Yeah.
You know, okay, and this is where you put the reckless speculation across the screen. I maintain to this day, all that Deshaun Watson stuff came out because when he was sitting out and he was refusing to sign that contract and he wouldn't play for them, they leaked that shit out. They knew about it. They had tried to contain it with NDAs and stuff. I am convinced they're the ones that sicked Rusty Harden on him. I don't believe they thought it would have snowballed to where it ended up. I think they unleashed a thing that got that brush fire that got way out of control, right?
Yeah.
And somehow they managed to really downplay how they were aware of it, basically signed off on it, were, you know, and then you'll never convince me that the timing of when it all just suddenly came out was right when he was telling them, no, I'm done playing for you. I don't buy it, right? I don't buy the fact that the owner of that damn team lives in the same neighborhood as suddenly the attorney who's ambulance chasing. I don't buy it. I believe they started the brush fire thinking it would embarrass him a little bit, humble him, bring him back to the table, and they would sign him. But then the brush fire became a full-blown, you know, 7-alarm disaster.
Yeah.
And they somehow weaseled out of the public attention and their role in all of it. To this day, I still don't understand how they escaped any sanctions whatsoever from the league.
Well, again, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so I think everything you're saying is perfectly plausible. And I think they're very, very, very lucky, because I think in your telling of the story, which is plausible, definitely, there's a lot of ineptitude on their part. They got lucky because there's somebody dumber than them, and that man is Jimmy Haslam, who, when he's not listening to homeless guys on the street telling him to draft Johnny Manziel, is making decisions like that one, to give up an entire king's ransom for the corpse of Deshaun Watson. You know, we all know how that one played out. But as far as the thing about market size, I want to bring it full circle here in our discussion
It proved to be really, really dumb. But at the same time, there were other teams that really wanted Watson, like the Falcons, that were trying to get him. It wasn't just the Browns. And they were all prepared to give up a lot because he was everybody remembers the top five quarterback, right? That he was. That's what everybody thought they were getting.
Yeah.
So not to, you know, I don't like to defend Jimmy, but at the time, you know, nobody knew that he would just be so mentally washed that he'd be incapable of football.
Well, I'll get back to you, Chris. If I can think of anybody who at the time said it was a bad idea, I'll get back to you. I'm sure I can think of somebody sooner or later on that one. But
I know there were plenty of people like yourself who were obviously aghast at the behavior, right? Mm-hmm. But nobody, I don't recall people saying in that moment, oh, well, don't you know he's going to suck at football going forward?
Oh, I said it'll be the most Browns thing ever. I said they'll win a Super Bowl just to spite me. I said it'll be the most Browns thing ever. Yes, yes, I agree with you on that part.
Nobody thought that he was going to fall off a cliff like that
skill-wise.
Your objections, and understandably so, were all based on the moral outrage. There was nobody, not a soul out there saying, well, you know, he's really going to suck at football going forward. Nobody was saying that.
But here's the thing I did say in the moment, and I said, I don't know how big this is going to be, but I mentioned Mike Tyson, Michael Vick. Guys who are away from the physical punishment for a prolonged period of time, are they ever the same when they got to start getting hit again? I did raise that question.
At some point, and actually played well for a period.
I mean, like a game and a half.
Couple of years, like with the Eagles. I mean, Vic had some couple good seasons in there. I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I don't think anybody thought Deshaun Watson, if you watched him last year, he didn't look like he understood the game.
Right.
Like, It was beyond dreadful.
Right.
I don't, you know, and again, that's where you realize, like, he's just mentally washed. Like, he couldn't even see wide open wide receivers. I mean, within the structure. I mean, he was terrible.
Yeah. Well, he was very bad. Some of us would call that karma, but as
some far of us as would call that parma. Is that what you just said? Some of us would call that parma.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like that great song Parma Police? Yeah. I want to bring it full circle here on our playoff discussion here. We're talking about Super Bowls and market size, because there was a debate that I can't even believe I had on the show about 15 years ago, I guess, or maybe 14 years ago, whatever it was. FDH Lounge dignitary Lloyd Carroll, columnist for the Queens Chronicle, and being a New Yorker, one of these triumphalists about market size. And I remember at the time, this was the year that the Packers and the Steelers ended up playing in the Super Bowl. And I remember that he said to me before the Super Bowl, I think he was on the Championship Sunday previews, like, you know, Rick, it would have done a better number if it was the Bears and the Jets, if they'd have won on Championship Sunday. Look at the market size. I'm like, bigger than the Packers and the Steelers? What are you, crazy? So I think he was on for the Super Bowl recap, and I'm like, dude, biggest Super Bowl number ever. Yeah, Rick, but I still maintain it would have been bigger if it was the Bears and the Jets. It's just like, I don't even know what to say to that, Chris. I mean, again, you talk about the NFL and national brands and everything like that. And there was no convincing Lloyd, from my point of view, that national brands are bigger than the market size of, by the way, the secondary team in New York, while we're at.
Again, I haven't tracked Super Bowl ratings, but isn't every year's Super Bowl ratings the biggest?
No, there have been some years that were down. They were down a couple of years before they started going up again. I don't remember. The pandemic one that everybody thought was going to do great tanked. I think the one between the Chiefs and the Bucks, I think that one tanked. There were a couple of them that didn't do great.
Was that an empty stadium?
There were a lot of cutouts. It was like the 35,000 in the stadium and cardboard cutouts and stuff. So,
you were still in the pandemic and people weren't getting together to watch the Super Bowl parties. And I mean, that may have caused that. But anyway, to your point, listen, I agree with you when it comes to the NFL. It's not baseball where, you know, you better have Boston and LA and New York and LA to have big ratings. There are teams like the Packers. There are teams like the. I mean, look, for all the garbage that fans love to give the Browns have great ratings when they're on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, they do. Look at those Thursday night games. They've had some of the best Thursday night ratings. I mean, the Browns get great ratings when they're on national TV.
People can't look away from a train wreck.
Well, I think there's that, and I think there is a lot of history with that franchise. To what you said earlier, that there are a lot more fans out there than you necessarily even sometimes put out on their sleeve because of the years, recent decades of misery. But, that preseason game that they had, and again, it's not the Browns. Some of it's the Browns, but more of the Shador thing where that Panthers preseason game had like the biggest preseason number like ever or some stupid thing in a game.
Yeah,
you know, there are brands that transcend the market. The Packers are certainly one of them.
Yeah,
say what you will, the Cowboys still get massive ratings, even though they've been terrible since they haven't won in 30 years. Mm-hmm. They still get great ratings. But you have big market teams, quote unquote, like the Chargers, who don't get great ratings.
Right.
Because who the hell is a Chargers fan?
Well, that's it.
And the Chargers are the number four team in LA.
Well, and you mentioned that. You mentioned with baseball that, and you're absolutely right, Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, we could put the Cubs in there. You know who we wouldn't put in there? The Cubs and the Angels. Because in baseball, many of the national brands are also big market brands. In the NFL, it's hit and miss on who's a national brand and who's a big market brand. Sometimes they coincide, sometimes they don't.
The Cubs, you wouldn't put the White Sox.
That's what I'm saying. Because not every big market team in baseball is a national brand, but I think in baseball, I never thought of this before you said that, there's more of a correlation in baseball between national brands and big market than there is in the NFL. Because in the NFL, it's based on the historic success of franchises, what the Packers have done over a period of time, what the Steelers, as much as I loathe them, have done over a period of time. And that's where, again, that's where it correlates, and it doesn't have as much to do. And that's what I couldn't get through to Lloyd Carroll about back in 2011, I think it was, when I was telling him there's no way the Bears and the Jets would have popped a bigger number.
No, I don't believe that's the case, because I think the Giants are still the number one team in the New York market.
Yeah, the Jets are secondary. They're the White Sox of New York.
Well, yeah, they're the Mets, right?
Yes.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Yeah, the Islanders.
Yeah, right, exactly, the Islanders, right, yeah. God, I was having a conversation with somebody just like a week ago about the Islanders.
And, really?
Random. Just talking about, like, how are they still a thing?
Okay. Well, they got a new arena, but, you know, whatever.
But still, the fact that, like, Long Island has a team.
Yeah. And they thought they were too good for Lou Lamoriello.
It was in context of how, you know.
Right.
Our second favorite team, the world's second favorite team, the Hartford Whalers, are gone. Right. You know.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the Whalers are gone. Like, how the hell are the Islanders still around? Right. You know.
Yeah, well, yeah, Chris, hear me out. If it's just a matter of population size, how does Bakersfield not have a Big Four franchise?
Okay, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's not always just population. It's certainly not
right. Hockey, yeah, but they have a shockingly high number there. I was amazed when I saw that. But we've somehow wandered around to Bakersfield, California,
NHL expansion is Bakersfield. Sure.
Is there anything else we can tie into our NFL playoff preview? But that's what I love about this show. You never know where we're going. Right,
so what are you saying? You saying Jordan Love, Super Bowl MVP?
Jordan Love MVP for the Super Bowl, and I'll say for the regular season too. If they're the one seed, then I think he plays well enough to be the MVP as well. I think he sweeps the awards.
Interesting. Well, that's it, folks.
You heard it here first. Packers and Packers, the predictions from both of us. Chris says Bills to be the other team in the Super Bowl. I say the Houston Texans, which I know will shock and horrify a lot of people, but we'll see how it plays out. Chris among them. But again, Chris Galloway, thank you very much for being a part of what I always believe is the best pro football preview you're going to get anywhere. 9 parts in our marathon series. We have now delivered that for you. Thank you very much, Chris Galloway, and thank you, everybody, for checking out this mini episode and hopefully the previous ones as well, the divisional previews for 2025 in the NFL on the FDH Lounge.